Doesn't the terrible weather sound pleasant when Alyssa delivers? She's in such a pleasant demeanor.
She's been very informative all morning,
lovely,
keeping us up to date.
Beautiful voice, whiteout conditions. Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
This has been quite a surprise. And, you know, I was trying to think, you know, the term winter storm warning, yeah, we normally hear this
January,
toward the end
February.
Of December, certainly in January. But I can't remember offhand hearing this on the 9th of November.
Too early.
Yeah.
Plus, it was like 70 degrees a week
ago. Yes, yeah. Right. And next weekend, we could hit 60 on Saturday.
I saw that.
Crazy. Yeah.
This is tree time weather we're having today.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't have snow last week because, you know, everyone was able to get to Lake Barrington for the broadcast safely, because we have done the tree time show under extremely adverse weather conditions.
Yes, cold and snow.
In our decade of Dean, as they were calling it.
That's right.
Decade of
that's
Dean. Right. I like that.
Yeah, that's what they call, that's what the tree time, Laurie and Joe Kane, the owners, were calling it, a decade of Dean. It's our 10th annual show.
I've heard that all week, by the way.
What, decade of Dean?
The decade of Dean, yeah.
From who?
Oh, a number of people that listen to us on a regular basis.
People are listening to this?
Well, I guess.
I thought we were taping.
You know what? I got a nice
somebody
card.
Must have listened, because there were standing room only
once again, when
we started the show last week.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Like,
so they had to hear about it from somewhere.
The people are so nice. I got a card from somebody thanking us for the show. They listened online. They listened to the show online.
Oh,
They listened to the crazy hour we did on Facebook Live. That had a few technical...
We had some snafus there,
a couple of technical issues, but they enjoyed the show. And they requested that next year I bring the, as they called them, the Dave Schwann blackmail photos that I've often talked about.
Oh, no.
That's a good idea.
Wouldn't that be fun if I brought those to
Tree Time one year? No, it would not. It would not.
We could do it during the Facebook Live hour so everybody could see them. That would be fun.
Are you done?
How about the Ides of March last week?
Oh, wonderful.
Were they awesome?
Wonderful. Yep.
Coming out there and playing live for us. Garrett from Million Dollar Quartet, who plays Jerry Lee Lewis, blew the roof off the joint.
Wow, yeah.
It was so great.
And if you thought he had energy playing with us last Sunday, wait till you go see the show.
Oh, yeah. He was subdued compared to what he does during the show. But it was really fun. We had so much fun last week. So thank you to everybody who participated in making it happen. Jack was not there. Jack's been there.
We missed you, man.
It was weird not to be there.
I think three times.
Yeah. Jack's been there as producer of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You missed it.
I was here for Hamp and OB, and Dean, you missed the street closers for a hot chocolate run, and you missed Angry Jack. And Angry OB, me and OB were yelling at about how mad we were.
See, that's what I love.
Yet another marvelous, engaging, exciting post-game show.
Oh, yeah, they were riding the wave.
Really, nothing warms my heart more to see Jack following in my footsteps of being angry with street closures. I want to wash my hair, face, and snow. She likes snow more than I do, and has more hair than I do.
Oh, is that Bing Crosby and...
Rosemary Clooney.
Rosemary Clooney, yeah.
Danny Kaye.
From White Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It sure is.
And Vera Ellen.
Right. Vera Ellen.
Wait a minute. Joe knows the movie White Christmas?
Jack.
Or Jack, rather?
I do.
His name is Jack. He used to be your producer.
You want to hear my name for you?
You can't say it on the air.
So you know the movie White Christmas, Jack?
I do. I've seen it a few times.
Wow.
It's a good movie.
You never cease to amaze.
I know. I can always pull something out. Normally, I haven't seen it.
I'm frequently surprised at old school things that you know.
It's very random.
Yeah. That is a great movie, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my... It's one of the ones that no matter what, every season, I'll stop whatever I'm doing to watch.
Definitely. It's a classic.
It's a Wonderful Life. Do you know that one?
I do. I watched it a few years ago. That's a really good movie, too.
Fantastic movie. Wow. Schwani, look at
this. I'm listening.
I'm listening. A savant.
Our little Jack's growing up.
Holiday Inn, do you know that Christmas movie?
No.
You don't know that one?
No.
Neither do I.
Oh, come on.
Elf?
Yeah, oh yeah. Love. It's right in my wheelhouse.
I love Elf. I love Elf. What other? Schwani, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, I would have to say A Wonderful Life is right up there.
I do love that and White Christmas.
White Christmas, yeah. Yeah. Everything about White Christmas is just really... especially the movie version. It's Danny Kaye and Donald O'Connor, I think. The dancing in it. What, unbelievable.
In White Christmas?
Yeah.
I don't think Donald O'Connor is in White
Christmas. Well, it's Danny Kaye. Oh, I'm sorry. Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. Yeah. But still.
Oh, the dancing and the choreography is amazing.
Danny Kaye could do it all. He really could.
The dance numbers with Danny Kaye and Vera Ellen, the second sister, are
fabulous.
Stunning.
Yeah.
But the songs, the setting, the story, you name it. And it might be a good day to find it simple. It's got to be streaming somewhere already. This might be the day to watch it.
Oh, you can find it, sure.
Winter Storm Warning. How about that? November 9th. Take that, November 9th.
Yeah, like I said, I'm trying to remember if we've had something this intense this early. We've had, snow in October just a few years ago. We had... 3 inches or so that moved through, and but nothing like this, what we're about to expect here.
Yeah, we've had some, not this early, for sure.
Right.
But we have had some doozies that we have reported on here on Sunday mornings, and we'll keep you posted on if anything changes. But for now, I mean, I don't want to get too hysterical about it. I don't want to be a reporter standing on the overpass of an expressway just yet.
Just yet.
That is my favorite thing about snowstorms, by the way.
The people on the scene.
Yeah, when you see the TV reporters, and that includes us, by the way, at WGN. Hello, I'm standing outside the Dan Ryan Expressway, and the snow is coming down.
They got their hat on, the hood, you can barely see their face.
Yeah.
They're all bundled up.
Like, for some reason, it becomes more of a dramatic story if you're standing on an overpass of an expressway, as opposed to a nice, cozy, warm studio.
It's what the people want.
I don't think that's true.
Do you? No, not at all. I don't know whether that's true. You need the set for Family Classics to do the snow.
I think it would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice if they were reporting on a snowstorm?
From the newsroom?
Yeah, and you saw, say, Julian Cruz on the Family Classics set drinking a nice hot cocoa. With little marshmallows.
All nice and warm.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Comfortable.
Yeah. I'm sure Julian would like that.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who wouldn't. Yeah, I always feel bad doing for my colleagues, the other reporters at WGN. It's like, yeah, you're going to be standing outside in the pouring rain. For some reason.
I reported on the snowstorm in 1979. We were up for three days.
Yeah, blizzard of 79.
And, I'm 23, 24 years old. It was fun.
Yeah. I've told the story before. I agree. I was working then at Fire Radio, WFYR.
Mm-hmm.
Fire Radio. And the managers were afraid that if we went home, we wouldn't be able to come back to work. So they said, we're going to put you up at the Hyatt, all of us. They put us up at the Hyatt.
Nice.
Let's have a party.
We're on the company tab.
Yeah.
We're all 20-year-olds on the company tab at the Hyatt.
The one just a block away from here now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, right on Wacker Drive, right next door to us here now.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have taken advantage of that expense account a little bit.
As you should.
Naughty.
You don't remember the storm of 79, do you, Jack?
I think I was negative like 18, so oh, no.
I'm telling you, that was quite a storm. There, young fella.
It was crazy. It was crazy. Anywho, so what time is Mr. Storm pulling into town?
Mr. Storm, well, we'll be seeing that intensify the evening. The actual warning starts at 9 tonight. 20
goes into meteorology.
Here we go. The lock in.
Well, we'll see the storm intensifying. It, sorry, go ahead.
I'm trying to answer your question.
I know. It's just funny. Your whole tone changed.
The winter storm warning will be effective. Will be effect.
It became PJ
We don't have, oh, yes, we do. We do have a board where I can draw snowflakes and a snowman in the newsroom. Yeah. We have a whiteboard here. I can do that. Jack, go get this.
For all of you under, what do you mean the barking orders at Jack? He's not the producer anymore.
Should I play the music now, though? Forecast music?
Look at you barking orders at Jack.
Unbelievable.
Right?
Well, I want to be PJ Hoff.
Well, I think we need to first explain because not all the audience members are 95 years old like us. PJ Hoff he's probably like the first outstanding TV weatherman, right?
Just before Harry Volkman.
Super personality.
Yeah.
And his big deal was it wasn't a whiteboard, but it was a clear acrylic, right? And that he would draw on it. He would draw.
Is it going to rain? He'd draw an umbrella with raindrops.
Yeah, that was PJ Hoff. So go ahead. Tell us again when the storm will be the proliferating
winter storm
again.
Warning.
The prominent storm will be.
Do you want to do it?
No.
I think he does.
The winter storm warning will become effective at 2100 hours this evening.
Army time.
9 o'clock tonight. It runs through noon tomorrow. And this will affect Cook, portions of Will County, Kankakee, and Lake and Porter counties in Indiana. And I believe it's been snowing already in northwest Indiana. But here's the thing. We're talking about a lot of lake effect snow. We could see a foot or more in places very easily with intense bursts of snow that may total 3 inches per hour. Mm. And that could cause the whiteout conditions. So that's nothing to take lightly.
That's serious.
Yes.
Serious. 3 to 6 in the city, they're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then more?
More along the Indiana lakeshore, into Lake and Porter counties. Chesterton, Indiana, east of Gary. They could see a foot or more there, depending on just how the wind comes down the lake. You see what happens here, Dean, is that the storm will intensify as it moves south
across
the lake. You
know what the weird thing is that nobody can see? You were actually pointing at a weather board that's not there.
And as this storm moves down the lake, it picks up the moisture from the relatively warm water, which is still in the 50s. As this picks up the moisture, it will move through and hit the shoreline, and that's... Hey, wake up and go to sleep.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm done. The snow will move in and 12 inches or more along the lakeshore there in northwest Indiana, especially.
In Indiana, but
yes.
City proper.
City could get, yeah, but the
city proper, 3 to 6.
Try, think driving along Lakeshore, DuSable Lakeshore Drive. Yeah. 3 to 6 inches with snow bursts.
Yeah, it's going to be.
That's not good.
It's going to be. Yeah, keep the radio on today. I mean, whatever we have on.
As you watch White Christmas,
we will
check in periodically.
Reporting. Sisters. That's what we should have done in Tree Time last week.
Oh, I would have came out for that.
You and I should have done the sisters routine, Schwann. Or maybe we should pass it along to the younger generation.
Eli and I?
Like a Jack and Eli doing the sisters number.
There you go.
Jack's, we have a whole year to practice.
Jack sounds a little excited about that.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's an iconic scene.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right. So we've got the far-flung forecast coming up in a minute. Oh, by the way.
Tying in with weather, by the way.
Of course it is, because you're topical that way.
And a landmark anniversary also.
I'm told we're allowed to play the far-flung
forecast
music again.
I'm glad.
Look at Eli.
Yeah.
Making things happen.
The legal issues were resolved.
Just every paycheck Schwani gets, they take a little money out of it. That's how they figured it out.
Oh, okay.
Had to make some compromises, but the music was more important.
We got our music issue resolved faster than Congress.
Yes, they convene once again today.
Of course they do. Of course they do. If you'd like producer Eli to come to Washington to settle this whole thing.
You know who we should get to go to Washington to solve this? OB.
Oh, yeah, that would be
Can you see him on the floor of the House or the Senate?
Yeah,
they'd get this done. See? They'd get this done.
Yeah, they would get this government reopened again. Hey, Matt, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Dean. Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
I have had this question. We learned a couple of years ago about my favorite Thanksgiving movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh,
we learned that there was this scene cut out, which to me makes total sense because the end of the movie, to me, I always thought that the wife was over-emotional. But now knowing that scene's missing... John Candy's speech at the end. Is there any ever chance of there a director's cut coming out of that?
I'm shocked that they have never done that. The reason why they cut it out was that, you know, before any movie comes out, the studios do testing on movies. They do test screenings to try to determine what audiences like and what they don't like. And they did original testing on this. The audiences did not like the original ending, in which John Candy's character was annoying, I guess. They wanted to end it in a little more of a heart-rendering sort of way. So I'm shocked that by now, after all these years, when did that movie come out? 87, maybe?
You've seen Steve Martin read that part from the script, right? It seems like it just has to be there. I want to see it.
Yeah, right. I 100% agree. I'm shocked that it never has been, and I've never heard any talk ever of a director's cut, anything like that. Apparently, they want to just leave it intact, the way that it is.
Well. Don't you got some pull, Dean? Give somebody a call.
Yeah, let me make a few calls. Let me call Steve Martin personally. And
I appreciate your input, my friend. Yeah. I always like listening to you.
See if we can get that done. And just remember this, Matt, as you go through the day today. Hey, those aren't pillows.
Exactly.
Have a great day.
Thank you, my friend.
Stay safe out there. I am getting some texts on our text line. The snow, as you'd mentioned, is already beginning in northwest Indiana.
Yes.
We'll keep everybody posted on what's going on, what's to be expected, et cetera, throughout the morning. But ladies and gentlemen, if you are ready, so am I, so is the world. The music is back. Once again, it's time... For the far-flung forecast, our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures, presented to us once again by P.J. Schwann.
I love the timpani roll. Thank you.
You want that from now on?
Sure. You got me all choked up here.
Did give me goosebumps a little bit.
That was great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Dean, and good morning, everyone. Get out your compasses and protractors and newfangled devices. We are heading across the Great Lake to River Rouge, Michigan.
River Rouge,
Michigan.
R-O-U-G-E?
R-O-U-G-E, which means Rouge. The Red River. The Red River.
Ooh, la, la.
On the shores, actually, of Lake Huron, but it is in very near Detroit. Population 7,224. And the city was named after the River Rouge, which flows through the city's northern border. However, it was home in the 20th century to what a company known as the Great Lakes Engineering Works. They built boats, and among the boats they built in 1958 was the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, boy.
Which, 50 years ago tomorrow, went down in Lake Superior.
Oh, wow.
All 29 crew members lost on that fateful voyage as it left Superior, Wisconsin, and sank about 17 miles north-northwest off of Whitefish Bay in at the very, very, very tip of the Michigan's Upper Peninsula there.
Yeah. Hey, Google Gordon Lightfoot if you want to learn more.
Then that story, the song tells the story very, very well.
Legend lives on from the Chippewa and down.
But the ship was built in 1958.
They call Gitchigume.
At Great Lakes Engineering Works. And 29 went down. And there is a memorial that's held every year at the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum at Whitefish Bay. And there will be a special commemoration tomorrow, of course, for family members of the crew members and also, you know, those that participated. There's a wonderful section about the Edmund Fitzgerald and the sinking in a great book by Jerry Dennis called The Living Great Lakes that describes, you know, what was going on and the circumstances that that ended up resulting in the sinking of the ship. But 50 years ago, Dean, tomorrow, the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
50 years ago.
And River Rouge now today has light rain and snow and 33 degrees.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning. He's keeping an eye on the weather for you today and dipping into some of our regular features like the Week in Health. This week sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And back with us again after a couple of weeks, Dr. Santino Wheat. Program Director McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. Dr. Wheat, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah, good to have you back with us here again. Lots of health subjects to talk about. I wanted to focus on one that was headline news for several days, and that is the subject of GLP-1 drugs. These are your Ozempics, your Wegovys. In the news now because the president is announcing some deals to lower the costs. That's going to go through a whole political thing, which I do not want to get into. But I do want to talk about the GLP-1 drugs in general. More and more people are using them. Are they for everyone, I guess, is my first question.
I think that's a great question, and I'm not sure that we totally know that yet. Every day I feel like there's a new study that's coming out about another condition that these GLP-1 medications are able to help with, and all of the data has been really exciting and a great way to combat obesity. I think the people who these are really for are the people, though, that are struggling with obesity, and so it's not necessarily that I'm trying to lose 5 pounds. But for someone who has obesity and is worried about the chronic health conditions that comes along with it, they can be a great option.
So you're saying that we're learning more and more how they can help you in different ways. In which ways can they help you? I mean, I think we sort of discovered the weight loss benefit, but they were originally intended as diabetes medication. Am I right?
That is absolutely correct. So, yeah, so we started with these medications, and we had this class of medications for a long time. They are not new, even though they feel new, for diabetes, and then we saw that weight loss benefit. We've seen benefits to cardiac health, so in helping prevent things like heart attacks. We've seen benefits in some of them to sleep apnea, so making sure that people are sleeping well and not being woken up in the middle of the night, not being able to breathe. And I feel we've seen some changes and improvement in liver health, and I just anticipate that we will see even more.
It just seems like a magic pill. I mean, it's an injection, but it seems like, you know, a magic thing that everybody wants to take advantage of right now because it's a whole lot easier than exercise or watching what you eat, I guess, right?
Well, I think that's a great point. That's what it seems like when you see the ads, but it's not that simple. When someone is using a GLP-1, and there are some available that are in pills too, not just injections, it is a tool. It is not a magic It's not magic. And so it still has to be done with thinking about strength exercises to make sure that you're not losing too much protein, being thoughtful about your diet to make sure you're bringing more protein in your diet. And still, you can out-eat just about anything. So it does still require that you're being thoughtful and committed to a journey of taking care of your health.
Yeah. What about side effects? I've heard and read so many stories about the downsides of them that we don't hear about that much. What are they?
Yeah, so the biggest one that we think about is pancreatitis is one that can really cause problems. And so when you have pancreatitis, there's an inflammation of your pancreas, or it can be vomiting, fevers, and not being able to eat. There's also risks of some cancers that people have, not that this is causing cancer, but that if you are at risk for some cancers, it potentially puts you at higher risk. And then there's the side effects from how the medication works. It slows down your digestion usually, and so that can cause some nausea, it can cause some vomiting, it can cause some stomach upset. So those are all real side effects that many people experience. And then you can lose weight in ways that maybe you weren't anticipating. So you might actually lose some muscle mass if you're not being thoughtful about the strength training that you're doing and the protein that you're getting in.
Yeah, you say it slows down digestion. All I can think of, sorry, this is an insensitive kind of subject. I hope no one's eating breakfast. But, you know, it's constipating, correct?
It can be, absolutely. And I think of it more with my patients on the other side, that their stomach just feels full all the time. So they feel more of the heartburn and like they're going to have nausea or vomit. But yes, it can be constipating too, because everything slows down.
Yeah, because if, again, you know, whatever happens to the pricing issue that's going to be going on, you know, if it becomes more affordable, everyone, you know, people are going to want to be popping them like M&Ms. And that's not safe, right? What do you do? So you start, obviously, with a conversation with your doctor, I guess.
Absolutely. We are happy to have these conversations. And we will talk about, okay, what is the entire strategy? That this can't just be the medication on its own. I'm talking about good nutrition to go along with it. To make sure that you're eating the right things while you're using this as a tool. And yes, even if the medication becomes less expensive than what it is, and there are some options right now where you can get it directly from the companies that do make it less expensive than the big ticket price, it still is not perfect for everyone. It will still cause side effects for some people. And so it's important to have a shared conversation with your physician.
I will continue our conversation with our physician, Dr. Santina Wheat, after a break. If you've got questions, comments, you can call or text 312-981-7200. The Week in Health, Dr. Santina Wheat. And oh, by the way, we'll be updating not only all the latest news, but give you the very latest on this pretty major winter storm that's headed into the Chicago area. It's coming up in about 7-8 minutes. Dave Schwann and our Northwestern Medicine newsroom. In the meantime, though, Dr. Santina Wheat on the line with us taking questions. So, you know, we talk about outbreaks from time to time, things going on that people should know about. Apparently, there is a rise right now in hand, foot, and mouth disease. And I don't even think I know what that is, Dr. Wheat.
Yeah, this is actually something that has been in my daughter's school even this week. It is a virus, and we usually think of it in little children. We usually think of it like in daycare. It usually impacts the little ones because it is spread so much with things like diaper changing and just coughing and sneezing and all of the typical ways that colds are spread. And that's how it starts. It starts as like a cold, like with a runny nose, maybe a fever. And then there are sores that develop sometimes on the hands and the bottoms of the feet, which is where you get the name, and then also inside the mouth. And the mouth lesions can be so bad that it makes it difficult to swallow or want to eat or to drink. And that's usually where we run into problems with kiddos. And even though we think of it as a little kid disease, we can see it, though less often, in older kids like my daughter, who's 10, and in adults. And it can hit us pretty bad, too, if we get it.
Is it contagious?
It is extremely contagious. And one of the hardest parts about it is that you generally don't have symptoms until about 3 or so days after you were exposed. So you might still be sharing those germs around. It will spread through households. It can spread through schools. It really can leave everybody feeling kind of miserable.
Yeah, it sounds like it. What is the best way, since there is an outbreak of it right now, what's the best way to protect yourself and or your kids and grandkids from this?
So I would say all of the things that you normally do for good infection prevention, making sure you're always washing your hands, making sure that you're cleaning down surfaces in your home or where you're working or in the schools, and then also making sure that if you're sick, you're staying home so that we aren't sharing it, and then considering wearing a mask. If you have a runny nose or if you're sneezing or something, so that we're not spreading this. But really just trying to keep your hands washed and just sort of pay attention to those that are around you.
Yeah, it's not contagious via touching a hand, foot, or mouth, as the name of the disease might imply.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, yes. No, more often the droplets in the air.
Okay. All right. A text from the 847 area code. Dr. Wheat, I'm on Wegovy. I want a 40-pound weight loss after 12 weeks. I'm averaging a pound a week on a 1,375-calorie Mediterranean diet. Is this what you would expect?
Wow, everybody is a little bit different, and so it is hard to say. We do sometimes see more rapid weight loss, and so there could be some other factors there, like wondering if that is the right medication for you. There are other GLP-1s, so sometimes we find that somebody doesn't do well with one medication, and then we switch them to another. But there's also multiple doses of the medication. So we can see that somebody doesn't lose a lot when they start the medication, and then they increase, and then they have a little bit of a more rapid weight loss.
They increase dosage, and then, you mean, right?
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then also just making sure you're also getting plenty of protein and doing strength training to help support it all as well.
Yeah, it sounds good. I mean, if also you're, you know, on a 1,300 calorie diet, you probably have got to be seeing some results with that. So that's good. All right. Very good. Well, Dr. Wheat, I don't know if you heard that I had foot surgery in the last couple of weeks. I had cellulitis in the heel, heel of my foot. And a lot of people have been texting and emailing and asking. Everything's going well. I'm walking without a walker, without a cane. I'm able to put weight back on it again. But I feel like I need to bring you up to date since you're the show's official physician here. you should know. Is that common? They still don't know how my heel got infected in the first place. And they said it could have been something completely microscopic, but it was severe enough, and believe me, it was severely painful, that they had to go in and cut it out and clean it out.
Wow, I'm so sorry that you went through that. I don't know that I would say that it's super common. It is fairly common in my office that I will see people coming in with cellulitis. It usually does have to do with something else that started there first, like maybe they had a cut or even a surgery, or they had some sort of bug bite or some sort of injury that was there first before it spread is usually what I see. And then most often it's with other things in your health, like somebody who has diabetes, for example, might be more likely to have cellulitis or have other diseases that makes their immune system a little bit less strong.
Yeah. Well, I'm on the road to recovery. I'll be doing my tap dance routine in no time at all. So
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Delner Hospital. Have a great week. Stay safe in the snow today.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
So we have just a short show until 10:30 this morning, but with all the sports that we've got, Hampton OB coming up and Blackhawk hockey, we will keep everybody posted with the weather and the snow that's about to come in, right?
Yes. That is correct.
Okay. All right, feel free to elaborate.
Well, again, winter storm warning coming into effect at 9 tonight. We had our first look at snowfall around here early this morning, actually, around Indiana. 6, 7 o'clock. And yes, northwest Indiana definitely getting some snowfall. But the thing to really pay attention to is the fact that we could get intense bursting, you know, 3 inches an hour in places that, could cause some whiteout conditions along the lake. Not only along places like DeSable Lakeshore Drive, but think also of the Indiana Toll Road, because that can really be hit hard by
that.
That's
a nightmare there. Yeah. It just blows and drifts out that way.
Exactly.
773 area code is asking, we're driving to Milwaukee today. Are we going to be hit by all of this?
Maybe not as intense as what you're going to see here, because that storm is moving directly down the lake. And will affect Chicago and going to the east. So if you're headed up north, North Shore, there is a winter weather advisory and a storm watch for Lake County, Illinois. But the storm, any and all precipitation there wouldn't be as intense as what you're going to see on the south side of Chicago and into Indiana. And also to like Berrien County, Michigan.
Yeah, I've got the WGN-TV weather app up on the computer right now. If you go to WGNTV.com, click on weather, you can see the live radar yourself and see where it is and where it's going and all that. And, Shawnee, you know, I was looking at the radar here, and golly, yeah, it's much heavier to the south. Chicago, you can see where it's going to get it and then get hit later on. Kankakee, Watsika, Northwest Indiana. But as the texter is asking about Milwaukee, it's much lighter, Milwaukee and further north of
that. Yeah, there is a chance of some precipitation there today, mostly cloudy for Milwaukee and a high of 33, but not as much precipitation involved as there is going to be here.
Yeah. I mean, I've got some weather pictures I'd like to show you now, if that's all right.
Well, sure. Go right ahead.
Let's take a look at those. That's fun. Shawnee, check this out. This is Sir Elton John singing the Beach Boys song, God Only Knows. It was part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction award ceremony last night. And one of the things that they did was pay tribute to Brian Wilson by having Elton John come out and sing the song. Pretty cool. Now, they broadcast it live on Disney Plus last night. But if you would like to see the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, it is going to be on Hulu starting today and then on ABC. On regular old television, Shawnee, you remember what regular old television is, don't you?
You know, should have brought in a set of rabbit ears during the show and tell segment yesterday, last week. Yes, old-fashioned TV.
I just have a coat hanger on mine and wiggle it around till I can.
Any aluminum foil on the?
I wear that on my head to keep the aliens away. They're going to air highlights. Highlights.
Boy, that's a picture.
Right? Of the ceremony sometime in January, they're going to be running that. But if you want to see the whole thing right now, you can watch it on Hulu. And inducted last night, Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, Cyndi Lauper, Outkast, Soundgarden, The White Stripes, and Bad Company, with Musical Influence Awards, Salt and Peppa, and Warren Zevon, and Musical Excellence Awards, Tom Bell, Nikki Hopkins, and Carol Kay. So some rock and roll royalty inducted officially last night. I wanted to spend a few minutes talking about an inspiring new book written by one of the most inspiring people that I think I've ever met. She is Kelly Cervantes, who is a best-selling author to begin with, from the book that she wrote, Normal, Broken, The Grief Companion. Kelly now has written a new memoir called The Luckiest, A Memoir of Love, Loss, Motherhood, and the Pursuit of Self. You have heard Kelly Cervantes on this program before. She's been on our WGN TV morning news numerous times, along with her husband, Miguel Cervantes, who starred in Hamilton, the musical, here in Chicago, and then went to star in the same role when Lin-Manuel Miranda left the show. Miguel took over the starring role in there. While they were here in Chicago, Kelly and Miguel suffered the loss of the death of their daughter, and that has inspired some incredible words from Kelly and sharing her experience of what she and they went through during all of that. Kelly, welcome back, my friend. It's always wonderful to hear your voice.
Thank you so much for having me, Dean. You're the best.
Well, I gotta throw that compliment right back at you because you have written, despite probably some of the most painful things a person could go through, the loss of a child, you funneled that into something positive. In both your original book, Normal Broken, but now this new one, The Luckiest. How would you explain the Luckiest to our listeners?
Yeah, The Luckiest is it's a story of the many layers and the way that I got to where I am today. And while there's probably 100 things I wish I could change about my past, not least of which is Adelaide suffering in death, where I am today is actually a pretty beautiful place. And I think the person I am, I appreciate so much more because of what I've gone through. And so it is, I was inspired by this Maggie Smith, the poet. She said in her book, We Could Make This Place Beautiful, that we're all nesting dolls carrying the previous versions of ourselves inside of us. Mm. And that just struck me so beautiful, so much that I decided to structure my entire book off of that one quote. So every chapter is a different layer of my life that led me to where I am today. This pursuit of self, this constant evolution, these additional layers, and all the various heartbreak and triumphs and lessons that were learned along the way. A solid chunk of the book taking place in Chicago.
Yeah, everybody goes through, you know, painful things. Everybody goes through that. And
everyone.
Both of your books are great ways of sort of, you know, not curing the grief away. I don't know that that ever happens, but how to navigate it, how to try to turn it into something purposeful. What would you say some of those layers were that you went through?
You know, I think early on, you know, I look at like my, when I was an actress in New York City, and there's this whole chapter about being the ingenue and that sort of innocence that at some point gets shattered as you get older. There is my layer of, you know, being this advocate for Adelaide while we were there. There is a whole layer of grieving her after she died, but there's also these layers of sort of rebirth and opening, you know, into healing. And, you know, I don't believe that we are ever fully healed. We're always surviving our grief, but we can continue to find the beauty in life. Miguel and I like to say that we don't believe that anything happens for a reason, because there's just no reason good enough to justify what had to happen to our daughter. But we can make reason out of the things that happen. And so I think that's where we are now, just continuously trying to make reason.
Yeah, it was very interesting, of what you and Miguel went through at that particular time, because you went through what must be the most difficult thing parents can go through. And at the same time, Miguel is starring in a, you know, the biggest show ever. He's starring in the biggest show on Broadway. So, I mean, you've got, talk about the highs and the lows that the Cervantes family was going through at one time. I mean, that must have been dizzying, I would guess, for both of you, right?
Yeah, I actually have Miguel next to me. I'm going to let him answer that question.
Hey, Danny, what's happening?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Very well. For once, I get to sit and listen to my wife's wax poetic, you know what I mean?
I know. I thought, am I going to go through this whole interview and not say hi to Miguel? But
Miguel couldn't let that happen.
Yeah, I know. I know that that would never happen in a million years. But
never.
It's great. It's great to hear your voice. And I mean, you share this whole journey that Kelly has put into words in her books and what you were going through. I mean, it was pretty much the same, right? For what the dad was going through during this time.
I mean, look, there's no doubt that my life, my version of this story was the one where I would leave and go put on these costumes and do my hair and get on my microphone and walk out to these adoring, you know, people who love the show so much, while at the same time, in the back of my mind, my heart and everything is this story of this terribly sick little girl and Kelly navigating the medical aspect and the medicines and the therapies and all of these two crazy worlds, and everyone screaming and standing up and applauding, and then, you know, calling and saying, how many seizures did we have today? How are you doing? What was the, you know, trials that we went that had happened in my house while I was gone doing this show? So, you know, I think, you know, to quote my wife here, you know, you can say that I was so lucky to be on stage and take on this role and get to say these words every night. And yet behind the scenes, there's this whole other life. And is that dad lucky? Is that all those parents lucky to have to go through? I don't know. And the definition is so in the middle. And, you know, but to be able to stand in front of people and talk about her life and talk about my time as Hamilton and use those stories to inspire or make change or advocate, you know, that feels meaningful. It feels like a legacy that we can leave for her. You know, the Hamilton story of legacy and changing the world and being something better than the way we found it. That can be the reason that I had to go through all of these things, and try to find some beauty on the other side. Yeah. You know,
I can't even imagine what that must have been like for you. I mean, in a much lesser sense than what you guys were going through. You know, I know I've come in here, you know, to do the radio show or to be on the morning news, and you're not feeling well, or, you know, something has happened in your personal life that you're, you know, thinking about that's, you know, and it's hard to, like, set that on the shelf for a minute while you go and do your job. And, you know, I'm not singing and dancing on stage and, you know, telling this story. I'm sitting here and just talking. So I don't even know how you did that during that whole time. And it all really started. Adelaide's illness sort of began here in Chicago, didn't it?
Well, it was definitely a almost parallel universes. You know, as I'm auditioning in front of, you know, Lynn and the creative team, we're leaving. I left her in the hospital to go. I left her and my wife and Kelly in the hospital to go. She's having tests, and I'm auditioning. So it's happening. It's all happening together at the same time. And, you know, so the journeys are very similar. And as Kelly is changing her life and navigating this medical industry, I am going to rehearsals and going to, you know, Wrigley Field to throw out first pitches and all of this stuff. And so these two parallel lives are happening simultaneously. And then that's when we moved to Chicago and began that version of us, you know, this young family in Chicago navigating, you know, opening nights on one side and, you know, doctor visits on the other side. Yeah. And like you're saying, you know, walking into the theater, carrying that burden, carrying, all of that the day with me, leaving Kelly in at home to continue that. It weighed heavy, you know, it really did. And I it was not lost on my Hamilton family there and the people in the building to know how what the score was.
What you're going through, of course. Kelly, are you still on there?
I am. I'm here.
Okay, good. Because the bottom line of this is a very inspiring book. I mean, started with a very sad subject matter, but ultimately I found the whole thing kind of uplifting for whatever problem, sadness, darkness anyone may be going through. This book, The Luckiest, and also your previous one, The Normal Broken, The Grief Companion, helps you to go through that and try to, you know, turn the sadness, try to find the positives out of the sadness. I personally found this very inspiring to me when my brother and my mom passed away, right around the same time that Adelaide did, and that, you know, I got inspiration from you guys and what you were going through of trying to turn that sadness for me into something positive. So that's why everyone needs to pick up this book, The Luckiest. And you and Miguel are going to be back in the Chicago area this coming Tuesday night. Am I correct?
We are, and we're with you.
And someone else will be joining us, I believe.
I believe that I may be joining you at this event. I'm very, very excited at seeing you both. Do you have the details there in front of you?
Yeah.
I know we're out in Naperville. I don't have the address right in front of me, though.
Yeah, we are in Naperville. It is, I'm looking it up right now. We are at the Christ Community Church. I think it's the Yellow Room. It all goes down at 7:00. Miguel will be performing. I'll be speaking. You and I will be chatting. We're going to make Miguel sing for his supper just a little bit more. Yep. We'll do some Q&A, and then we'll get to do some book signing and get to say hi to everyone, which is always my favorite part.
I'm really looking forward to it. The book is called The Luckiest. Kelly Cervantes and Miguel also will see you, and I will be out in Naperville on Tuesday night for the event. I'll post everything up on social media so people can get all the details on that. But, guys, thank you for joining us this morning, and we look forward to seeing you on Tuesday night.
Yes, thank you so much.
Hey, Jane. Thank you, buddy.
Anderson's Bookshop is hosting it for us, so that's where everyone can find the information.